Welcome to The Author Show, where we feature new authors and books, from fiction to self-help and everything in between. You'll find it all at theauthorshow.com. That's theauthorshow.com. And now let the show begin.
Hi, this is The Author Show, and I'm your host, Linda Thompson. Have you ever wondered what goes on behind the scenes in a hospital emergency room? How do physicians cope with the not-so-pleasant tasks they are called on to perform? Dr. Conrad, M.D., has written The Pit, a memoir of an emergency physician, and he's here to share his story. Dr. Conrad, welcome to The Author Show.
Linda, thank you for having me.
Gary, will you please give us a quick overview of The Pit?
I'd be happy to. Linda, The Pit is a compilation of 41 years of different stories of emergency medicine. And these are the best of the best, the stories that had the most impact on me, I should say, in all my years in emergency medicine.
What served as the motivation for you to share stories of your time in the ER?
Well, I think it goes several different ways. I had so much in my heart and soul about emergency medicine I wanted to share with others, not only to let others know what goes on behind closed doors in the emergency department, which many people have no clue, but also it was my way of telling my story, you know, telling my life, telling me what I've done over the past 41 years. And in that way, I can share my experiences and hopefully others will gain from them.
Gary, you've written several other books, three mysteries and one other memoir. How would you describe your style of writing?
That's a great question. I think that my style of writing has changed over the years. And my first book, The Lhasa Trilogy, was a visionary fiction novel. It was my first effort into writing. And later, I wanted to do another book of memoirs, which was Oklahoma's where I live. And then I got inspired to do murder mysteries. I thought that people generally like murder mysteries. I thought that was the way I could get a spiritual message across to my readers on how I feel and how I believe. And then finally, the fifth book is The Pit, which is, of course, a collection of my stories in emergency medicine.
Did you write The Pit for any particular type of reader?
I wrote it for everybody, Linda. I don't see any reason that anybody would not be interested in what goes on in the emergency department. It's kind of a cloistered society, if you know what I mean. People are not aware or have knowledge of what goes on behind the doors of emergency medicine. How do doctors cope? How do nurses cope with the incredible stresses they're faced with? For example, I will see more trauma, emotional trauma, over 2 months than most people experience in a lifetime. How do I cope with that? How do I deal with that? And part of this book is about the theme of learning to still be a physician and handle all this stress and all the things that go with it.
If you had to compare The Pit with any other, what would that other book be?
There's no comparison. That's easy for me to say, of course, but there has never been a book written like this that I know of. I suppose if we had to really reach back and go back into the almost dark ages in the 1970s, there's a book called The House of God, which was kind of a sarcastic fictional novel about an inner city hospital. I believe it was Bellevue. And that book was very powerful in its own right, and many medical students have read it. But as far as telling true stories about emergency medicine physicians and what they go through and what the nurses go through and what the patients experience, which is a whole other realm, there's no book like this.
At heart, Gary, you are a storyteller, as evidenced by your book, Oklahoma is Where I Live. Do you believe that while writing The Pit, you were also a storyteller?
I think so. The truth is, a lot of these stories were 40, 41, 42, 43 years old. And so I did the best I could to recreate the stories from my memories, which tells you a lot about the intensity of the experiences. Most of the things you remember 30, 40 years ago, you kind of fade into your consciousness. But in this book, the memories are as sharp and as clear as they were yesterday because of the emotional intensity of what happened. And yes, I am a storyteller because I want to let people have a visual image of what I'm seeing. I want them to see things. I want them to also smell things. I want them to sense noises and sounds and experiences and emotions, which by creating a hologram of sorts allows the reader to see the whole picture rather than just the written word.
All too often on TV, we see not only emergency rooms, but surgery, operating theaters, and so on. And we see a lot of quote, blood and guts, unquote. Does your book have any of that type of writing in it?
You know, I think that my writing is different because it's real. And the stories I see on TV, I'm just aghast at the science that they have on there. For example, once I saw a show where someone was shocked back to life, and then they let them go home. Oh, my God, what are they doing? But these are real. These stories are real life. And there's a substance and a grit to my stories which you'll never see on TV and you'll never read in any other books because there aren't any books like this.
Well, I'm going to go back to TV for a little bit. We often view the ER, or in your vernacular, the pit, as a place of chaos where heroic measures are taken to save lives. Most of these impressions come from TV shows, so will you give us the abbreviated version of how the pit really works?
The pit really works because it tells true stories. It tells, right, you'll be right in the middle of a true story that happened, not some fiction that a writer created. And yes, the pit has blood and guts. Every emergency room has blood and guts. It would not be fair not to mention that. But it also has life and death situations. It has people that emotionally break. It has heart attacks. It has cardiac arrests. It has things that will disgust you, so much so that you may want to set the book down for a second. But one thing I promise you, Linda, that when the reader looks at the pit, they will be intrigued and they will not want to put it down.
Is there a story in the pit that affected you the most while writing it?
Probably the story that affected me the most was the introduction, because at that point I was considering writing the pit. And when I began to scratch some notes down about writing the pit, a few days later, I started waking up at night and almost breathless and having almost like a panic attack. And in writing the pit, these old memories were brought forth, things I had buried, things I'd forgotten about. In bringing them back to life, it brought back all sorts of feelings and emotions. It brought back pain. It brought back happiness. It brought back all sorts of experiences which I had not remembered. And probably this first opening chapter is the most powerful in the entire book, simply because it brought up things that I had forgotten and I had repressed.
When I started researching for our conversation today, I thought about one thing that must be extremely difficult for any doctor, and particularly for an emergency room physician, and that is losing a patient and having to tell the family of their demise.
Mm-hmm.
How emotional is that?
You know, it's the second chapter of the book, actually the first one after the introduction, tells the true story of an experience of me telling a family member about the death of a loved one. And it's called A Good Man, is the name of the chapter. And there's a certain set of rules that you really need to follow when you tell someone a family member's died. One is that you try to be empathic. You try to look at them and try to understand how they're feeling. And also, you have to inform them quickly. You don't tell a long, drawn-out story and then tell them family members died. You tell them quickly and to the point. You inform them what happened, let them know what happened. Most importantly, let them know their family member did not suffer, if that's the case, and most of the time it is. But these are hard experiences. They have to be done right. And you want the family member to recall this incredibly painful event, or at least being told in the way that's right. And after all these years, I've got a lot of practice at it.
Wow. Let's get on to happier things. The three mystery...
I think that's a great idea.
The three mystery novels that you've written are set in different parts of the world. Have you visited all the locations where your stories occur?
You know, I don't think you should write a book about places that you haven't been. I think that it should be against the rules. A lot of people do it. But my first book, The Lhasa Trilogy, was set mostly in Tibet. And so my wife and I made a trip to Tibet for a little over a week to do research for the book. And it was a fascinating trip. Oklahoma's where I live is more personal. I had to do no travels for that. But for Murder on Easter Island, we had to make a trip to Easter Island, to the most remote habited location in the world. And so, and for the Murder at Stonehenge, made two trips to England. One was to England to see Stonehenge. The second was to England and on to Wales to do research in the Preseli Hills, which is the site of the blue stones, which made up the Stonehenge monument. And so I've done a lot of traveling for my books, and that's probably as much fun as you can have, is to travel to a way out of the way location simply to do research for a book and also to enjoy the energy of the place.
I would well imagine your wife considers herself a very lucky gal for all the travel you're doing.
Well, you'd have to ask her, but I think that's probably right.
Well, Gary, are you working on another book now? And if so, would you share a teaser with us?
Sure. I'm working on the sequel to the Lhasa Trilogy. And the Lhasa Trilogy was a book, again, set in Tibet, but also had themes of reincarnation and spirituality in it. And there was one character in the book which I was particularly fond of called Tenzin. And Tenzin was a Buddhist monk who towards the end, well, I can't tell you the ending, but let's just say that I loved him so much, I wanted the sequel to Lhasa Trilogy to revisit him in his life and his spirituality. So to date, the Lhasa Trilogy is still my most appreciated and awarded book. So I thought I would build on that.
Have you always wanted to be an author? And do you use your writing as a way to escape from the realities you see every day in the picture?
You know, that's another great question. You must have done this before, Linda. I think you know the right questions to ask. But the answer is no, I did not always want to be an author. I didn't start writing until 2008. And do you know what got me started writing?
What?
What got me started writing was I had a great idea. And the idea was so good that I thought someone had to write about this. And so I gave it to my daughter, Sarah, who wanted to write a screenplay. Well, she accepted the idea. Then after 3 days of machinating and tossing and turning dead, I took the idea back and wrote the Lhasa Trilogy. So, no, I've not always wanted to write. But at the same time, once I got started writing, I found I really enjoyed it. And it's a way of me expressing my creativity. In emergency medicine, you have to be very creative to survive emergency medicine and also to take care of patients' unique needs. But in writing, you can be even more creative. You can go places you would never go in emergency medicine. And that's what I love doing, is expressing my thoughts and feelings, my spirituality, what I am, and, of course, my creativity through my writing.
What would you say is the most important message in the pit that you would like your readers to remember?
I'd like the readers to remember compassion, not only for themselves when things don't go well, but also have compassion for those who take care of them in the emergency department. I think compassion with yourself is very important, and also realizing that you don't get it right all the time. No one does. And in emergency medicine, we get it right probably 99.9% of the time. But the point is that with all the things going on and all the stresses going on, you know, you just have to be compassionate and caring and do the best you can to make it through tough situations.
Gary, will you please read a short excerpt from The Pit for our listeners?
You know, Linda, I was hoping you would ask. This is from the chapter Time for Skepticism. And this starts off, the first guideline passed on to me by generations of knowing physicians is the rule of sixes, which is alcohol consumption. Whatever quantity the patient says he drank, the provider multiplies it times six, he'll get a closer idea of how much the patient actually had. An example of this rule is illustrated by this hypothetical but not a typical tale. I walk into a room and discover an unshaven man lying in his stomach on the stretcher, snoring loudly and not acknowledging my entry. The entire room reeks with an odd mixture of body odor, urine, and alcohol. I say, "Sir." Hearing no reply, I speak a lot louder, nearly yelling, "Sir!" No response. I decide to shake him vigorously and scream a few more times, and he finally arouses. He cracks open his bloodshot, vacant-appearing eyes, bloody saliva drooling out of the corner of his mouth. He sputters out, "Who are you?" "I'm Dr. Gary Conrad. I'm an emergency physician." How did I get to the hospital?" "You don't remember?" "No." "The nurses tell me you've had difficulty keeping you awake." "Well, that's because I'm tired." "Tired?" "Yeah." "You smell like you've been drinking. How much have you had?" He scratches his chin and mutters, "Two beers, or was it three?" At this point, unbeknownst to him, he has given me valuable information. Likely, he has had 12 to 18 beers. His alcohol level, if I choose this check, it will be sky high. The rule of sixes has rarely failed me.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you've had an interesting life.
I think that goes without saying.
So, Gary, where can we learn more about you, about your other books, and where can we purchase The Pit, a memoir of an emergency physician?
Linda, my website is GaryDConrad.com, and there you can find all information about this book, about all of my other books, and also their online sites mentioned where you can order it. Now, I will also say that if you have a local bookstore you love, it can be ordered by any bookstore in the nation.
We've been talking with Gary D. Conrad, MD, the author of The Pit, a memoir of an emergency physician. Gary, you certainly offered a different perspective into the lives of the physicians who so many of us depend upon to save the lives of those we care about. Thank you for sharing your story with us, and I do hope that you'll come back again when you release your next book, be it a mystery or another memoir.
Linda, you can count on me being back.
The Pit takes you on an unpredictable, sometimes unsettling, roller coaster ride of tears, joy, offbeat, sardonic humor, success, failure, gut-wrenching moments, and so much more. You may laugh, cry, feel gratitude, and even perhaps disgust while reading Gary's book, but you will not walk away unaffected. So please visit GaryDConrad.com and order your copy of The Pit today. And please share this interview with your friends so that they too may become acquainted with our author. And remember that The Author Show may be accessed at any time at theauthorshow.com. Plus, selected interviews can also be found on major podcasting platforms such as Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Play, and many more. Whether you're an author who would like to be featured or a reader in search of a new book, theauthorshow.com is a really great place to start.
Thanks for listening to The Author Show. Find out more about authors and their work at theauthorshow.com. Theauthorshow.com. Tune in next time to another great author on The Author Show.